The angel's going to trouble the water. You concentrate on the water. You don't let anything distract you from the water. If you do, you lose, right? You do not let anything take your eyes off that. God walks into a place where there are thousands of people who need him, and not one of them saw him. Why? Because they were waiting for God to move. They were waiting for the angel to move the water. That's so many in the church today.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word with our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus heals a lame man as our study of John continues in chapter 5. Here's Pastor Bob.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. It had five porches. They were actually five covered porches. They have dug them up. They found them. So we know where it's located. It's near Jerusalem, just north of the Temple Mount, north of the temple itself, the northeast corner of the old city. Those pools are there. Bethesda means, well, a couple of things. It means house of mercy, or you could also call it house of grace. Bethesda had five porches, covered porches, because it's Jerusalem. It's the Middle East. It's Israel. It can get hot. It can be very warm in the afternoons. So these are five covered porches by right at these pools. And verse 3 says, In these five covered porches that surround the pool, in these lay a great multitude of impotent people, blind, lame, halt, withered, waiting for the water to move, the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, just kind of shook up the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he or she had. Okay, that seems like the most unfair thing I've ever heard of. You can't walk, you can't move, you're paralyzed, and you're by the water, and the first one gets in wins, but only one gets healed. Now, if you believed that an angel was going to show up sometime today and the water would be troubled, would be moved, and you could physically see it, then you would, if you really wanted to walk or be able to see or whatever, where would you place yourself? As close to the water as you can get without being in. Wouldn't you? I would. How about if you were in such distress? You knew if you could get into that water, you believe with your whole heart, you get into that water, you'd be healed. Do you think you'd be psyched up and ready to go? Where do you think your eyes would be? I mean, unless you were blind. You know, there are some that are blind. But if you weren't blind, where would your eyes be? On the water, right? Looking and watching up and down. And you're not going to let anyone get in your way. Excuse me, this is my spot. You know, and I'm sure they were loving, because that's how we treat one another, right? In crowds. Sure. All around these pools were a great multitude of impotent people that were not well. Some were sick, some were weak, some were disabled in some form or another. They couldn't see, they couldn't hear, right? They couldn't speak, some of them. A great multitude. That term, John uses it, the disciples use it, the Bible uses it. When the number is so large, there are too many to count. So there were thousands out there, and they can't tell you how many. Jesus fed the multitude. They counted them later, and they had them sit in groups, and it was 5,000 men, and that didn't include the women and the children. So there were probably 10 to 15,000 people he fed. And when the shepherds were out in the field, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, well, how many? Thousands upon thousands, too many to count. He uses the number, a multitude of very sick, very weak, disabled individuals in some form or another. Well, it makes sense to me. That's logical. If you're healthy, happy, healthy, and whole, you're probably not so much going to want to be right at the edge of the water. What are you getting in for? You're fine. Only the sick need a healing. Only the lame. Only the, you know, get it? You get the point? When you know you've got a need and it cannot be helped, and God you think is going to do a miracle, you're going to be there. True? That's why it's so crowded. Plus, there's the feast. So you got huge crowds going on here. Some blind, some unable to walk, some paralyzed, you know, completely. Unable to move even on their own. Each waiting for the water to move. Waiting for a miracle so they can be cured or they can be healed. Have a hard day? Have a rough time? How are things going for you? Here's a question for you. Why are you here? Are you expecting something to happen? Or do you just do this because it's the right thing to do and everybody thinks you're holy? You think God can do things, really? Do you? You think he cares about what's going on in you? You think he does? I think he does. I think he does. Are you expecting that God would speak to your heart when you come in? I know you would be if you were lame and you thought the water moves, I get in, I'm healed. You'd be all over that, true? Every one of these people had the same objective. Every one of them. They all want to get help. Now, the reason that they want to get that help, to be healed, is because they know there's something wrong with them. They would not be there in the heat of the day or any time just to be sitting near the pool. There are all kinds of more comfortable places to be. They are there because they're in need. Jesus said he's the great physician. He is the doctor. And he says, I've come to take care of the sick. If you don't recognize that you're sick, you won't go ask the doctor for help, will you? They're all there wanting the one who can do it to please help, please do it. So they had the same objective. They want to be healed. Some are blind, others are lame, some are paralyzed, but that is a description of you and me spiritually without Jesus Christ. True? Spiritually, we're blind, we're paralyzed, we can't do anything on our own, lame, we can't get around. Sinful mankind, men and women, in helplessness. Blindness, lameness, uselessness. True? Lost with no hope. And the man's going to mention to us in a moment. You'll see what I mean. You and me without Jesus. Sinful man in desperate need. One of the things that Jesus says is you've got to recognize your need. He speaks to the Samaritan woman. She's not quite getting it spiritually. So he says, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. You've been married five times. One you're living with now is not your husband. You've got a real problem here. You've got a need, don't you? Yes, I do. Now that you bring it up, yes, sir. I could really use some help. Sinful man and women in complete helplessness. That's the picture you're seeing of us spiritually, all mankind spiritually, while they're all at the pool of Bethesda, house of mercy. Bethesda, house of grace. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. Some of you haven't even lived that long. You know what? Jesus, in his earthly body, his physical body, he's God, so he's eternal. But you know, he's not even 33 years old yet. This man has been lame, unable to walk since before Jesus was born, became flesh and dwelt among us. He had an infirmity, a sickness, if you will, a disability, 38 years. 38 years. This man, along with thousands of others, however many are there, are staring at the water, never knowing exactly the very moment it's going to happen. If it's going to happen soon, and you don't know when, you are staring at the water. The angel's going to trouble the water. You concentrate on the water. You don't let anything distract you from the water. If you do, you lose, right? You do not let anything take your eyes off that. You don't allow anything to take your attention away. Here's what I'm telling you. God walks into a place where there are thousands of people who need him, and not one of them saw him. Why? Because they were waiting for God to move. They were waiting for the angel to move the water. That's so many in the church today. They're going from meeting to meeting, looking for this movement of the Holy Spirit, that movement of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be healings over here. You've seen those crusades come through the area. There's going to be healings. There's going to be this and that. And people show up, and that's where their eyes are. And God, Jesus Christ, is talking to their hearts, but they don't even know that he's there. They're waiting for the moving of something. Get it? We're missing it, everybody. If you want the Lord to touch your heart, he will do it right this moment. If you admit that your heart is sick and needs a touch. But instead, we're kind of waiting for the next big move of the Holy Spirit. Is it going to be in Spokane? Yeah, they're going to have a big conference, and there the Holy Spirit's going to move. I don't want to wait. I don't want to sit by the pool with all those people and just stare at the water. I want Jesus Christ. Don't you? Let's read verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there, in other words, he's close to the water, but he can't walk. So he's lying near the water. And when Jesus saw him like that and knew that he had been now such a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" What a question. He's God. Jesus is God Almighty in human flesh. He's walking around. He sees all these people, yet he focuses on one in particular. This guy has been there 38 years. I don't know how many times he's been out, but he's been out here a lot of times, and he's never yet been first. How do I know? Because he's still lame. And when Jesus knew that he had been in that condition so long, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Listen to the answer. The impotent man answered him, "Sir," he has no idea who he's talking to. This is God Almighty. That's who he really wants. That's what he's after. But I can picture him. I know I'm kind of like that guy. I can picture him. He looks up. Quickly looks back because he don't want his eyes off the water. And he's probably talking to Jesus without even looking at him. He's saying, you know, while he's staring at the water, he goes, "Sir, I have nobody. I have no man. When the water's troubled, to put me into the pool." But he's not looking at Jesus, because if you take your eyes off the water and it moves, you lose, right? He should be looking at Jesus, but he's watching that water. "I have no man. I have no help, nobody. When the water's troubled, put me in the pool. But when I am coming down, when I'm trying to get down, another steps down before me." I'm never first. And so the language means, I know what I'm talking about. I've done it many, many times. Each time, I can't get in the water fast enough. I'm not looking for the next big move, everybody. I am not. I just want him to help me. What about you? I'm not staring at the water no more, or the next, this, what the Holy Spirit is doing over there, or what the Holy Spirit is doing back there. The church is kind of fickle. It'll go from place to place to place to try to get what you're after. You know where you go? To Jesus. You know where your eyes look? To Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God Almighty walking around these poor, needy people. This is God Almighty standing right there. They could ask him at any moment, would you help me, Jesus? And did you ever see him turn away anybody when he walked on this earth? Did you ever see him ever turn away? I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to fix you. Did he ever do that? Never. If any one of them would have said, would you help me? He would have said, done. They're focused on the water. They don't know the Lord, their God, is in their midst. It has been my experience over the years. In the years I've been in ministry, it has been my experience. I know some of you have been around a long time too. Not just Calvary Chapels, but the church around our nation. No matter what denomination, no matter what doctrine, people keep running to different places looking for the Spirit to move, waiting for the water to shift, waiting for something to happen big in that tent or, you know, in this revival or in this. And they're setting up things and saying the Holy Spirit's going to move. Listen, the Holy Spirit is moving always, always. You don't have to set it up and make a show out of it and make it some kind of spectacle. God can heal. God can build up. God can strengthen. God can encourage. He is God. He loves you. People are running all over, looking for the next move of what they think is the Holy Spirit, looking for the next anything, the next big thing. Maybe it's a certain kind of music, and people are going, well, these kind of concerts, they just really, that works. Who knows what it is? Maybe it's the latest special gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's the latest preacher or the latest teacher, but do you know what the Bible says? It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ, God Almighty, that's working these things. He's moving, and you know who he is? He's God. And do you know that God is love? You may not know that, but God's word says it quite a few times. God is love. So the most loving in all of eternity sees this man and knows he's been suffering for 38 years. Jesus stops and looks at the man and asks him a question, and it may sound like a dumb question. It does. Some say it's a strange question. I don't think so. Jesus says, the language is, do you really want to be healed? Now, the man has no idea who Jesus is, and the man is desperate. His answer is desperate. I can't do this by myself. In other words, yes, I want to be healed, but I have nobody to help me. I cannot do it by myself. Don't miss this. Jesus is drawing something out of this man's heart, just like he's working in mine and he's working in yours. He's drawing something out of this man's heart, a realization from his own heart, the desperate need of his own heart. Yes, I truly want to be able to walk. I want to, with all my heart, to be healed, but I cannot do it myself. I can't do it on my own. I have nobody that will help me. So it's never going to happen, in other words. And you know what? There's a humility there. Hear it. And I need to hear it too, a humility. This man had to admit his own weakness. He had to come to the end of himself. He had to admit it, his own inability, his own helplessness. I want to, but in my own strength, it will not happen. He doesn't know he's talking to the Lord, but he says, help me, Lord. I have nobody to help me. So what happens? Jesus, verse 8, saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed. It would be like a little mat, like a little plastic, or sometimes made of reeds and things, a little mat. Rise, that means get up, take up thy bed, and walk. The idea is walk on home. The guy just said, I can't get myself in the water, and I can't I have nobody to help me. Jesus doesn't explain everything. What does he say? Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, how come Jesus does that for him and not for any of us? Oh, better yet, there are thousands of people. How come Jesus did that for one guy and everybody else just stayed there staring at the water? And Jesus walked on, and the thousands were still there waiting for water to move. Because one person humbly admitted, I need help. And who did God help that day? The one who from their heart said, humbly, I can't do this. Lord, help me. I love it. Now, literally, get up, grab your bed, and walk on home. He's never walked in 38 years. He stands up, having never stood up in 38 years, grabbed his bed and left. Now, I wonder what everybody else was thinking. I'll tell you, nobody saw it. Their eyes are on the next move of the angels, the next move of the Holy Spirit, the next gift, the next little conference, the next little 7-day retreat. You see, there's nothing wrong with all those things, but do you understand the point? God wants to do all kinds of things in your life and in mine. We don't let him. That's us. Well, you know, the Bible says this, and so you know what the Bible says? Trust in the Lord with your whole entire heart and lean not into your own understanding. Look at this. Grab your bed. Get up, grab your bed and walk. And I noticed something. When Jesus tells you to do something, he always provides the strength to do it right then and there. When God says after 38 years, you stand up and walk, he does. If you obey the Lord, he gives you the strength then and there to just walk on, and he did. Jesus drew something out of this guy's heart, a confession that he needed a Savior, someone to come alongside and to do it for him, really. So this man, in humble obedience, and that may sound strange to him, took up his bed and walked away. He was completely healed, and it was instantly. He wasn't looking for Jesus. Jesus came and found him. When you got saved, when I got saved, I was not looking for him, were you? And he came on over and says, you're a mess. Do you really want to be okay? And I'm going, I sure do. And there's no, I don't know how, I can't. And he goes, we'll get up and walk. And we did, didn't we? In eternal life. But it takes a heart. First of all, you got to know you're sick. And once you know you're sick, you got to know that there's to go find the physician. He didn't struggle. He didn't roll around on the floor to see if he could finally get some balance. He stood up and he walked. But the problem with this miracle, there's no problem. Except in a minor key, John writes, but it was on the Sabbath. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. God wrote the law. And God healed on a Sabbath day. Why? Because somebody asked him for help. When you cry out to God, he says, I will hear you. When you cry out to God, he says, I will hear you when you cry out with your whole heart. When Israel cried out honestly as a nation from their heart, he would raise them up a new judge and it would send their enemies away and they would do great. From their hearts, from our hearts. Jesus is here in this place right now because we're two or three gathered. He promised he'd be here. We invited him. We're not looking for the next movement that you might be doing at the end of the month or maybe in the summertime at the gorge. Lord, we're not dumb. We need you now, not 6 months from now. We need you now. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your wisdom. We need your everything. We want you to fix us because we're broken. You're the doctor. We're the sickos.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.